John chapter 3, please, for our scripture today. John chapter 3, we'll read verse 16 through 21. And let's stand, please, in honor of the word, if you can. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercies and blessings. We thank you for the wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the scripture says. Our minds can't conceive of that truth, but Lord, we believe it and we receive it. And we are happy today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'd speak to each heart here today. If there be anyone here who's never trusted Jesus as Savior, we pray that this would be the day that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Savior. We pray you work in each heart. Thank you, Lord, again for this blessed occasion, and we pray that you would accomplish what you would in each of our hearts. Bless the preacher as he comes to preach to us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you and be seated.
This is a wonderful time to be able to be with family and friends and church family, particularly when it lands on Sunday as well. Well, this morning I want to focus on the greatest gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." There's a lot of gift giving, gift receiving, a lot of focus on gifts. I read about this one. One lady waited until the last minute to send the Christmas cards. She knew she had 49 folks on her list, so she rushed out to the store, purchased a packet of 50 Christmas cards, never read what was in them, rushed home, signed them, addressed them, sealed them, and still never read what was in them, and mailed to her 49 friends and family. Well, Christmas Day came, and she finally had a little bit of break later that afternoon, and she found that one Christmas gift that she, or card that she had not mailed out, and she decided, you know, I need to read what I sent out. And to her dismay, she discovered the card said, "This card is just to say, a little gift is on the way." Whoops. You might want to read your cards before you send them out. It is the season when much of the world is focused on gift giving. Even if you happen to forget about it, the world of commercial marketing will be sure to remind you and let you know. But today we're going to focus on the greatest gift ever that was given and can be received. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. What a wonderful gift that he gave to us. Jesus Christ is that big but little gift that was wrapped in swaddling clothes and presented to us as a gift from the Heavenly Father. I want to think about the gift that our Father gave, the greatest gift of all time. One of the challenges of gift giving is finding that perfect gift for that person. You know, now I realize there's probably a lot of gift giving that, well, this'll do, that'll do, I'll get that or whatever. But there is also a lot of focus on what would be that perfect gift for this year for that particular person? And I'm here to say that Jesus Christ is the perfect gift because He is exactly what every person needs. We read in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Then again in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This gift of His only begotten Son is the perfect gift for every man, woman, and child, because every man, woman, and child needs Jesus Christ as Savior. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other name given among men under heaven whereby ye must be saved." There is no other option. There is no other means, there is no other way, but through Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, the shedding of His blood that paid our sins penalty. And yes, every man needs it, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it is the perfect gift because everybody needs it for certain. Another challenge with gift giving is, will it last? I wonder how many toys that were unwrapped yesterday evening and are already broke. I know how much goodies was given to our house and is already gone. And that's okay. We like that. There'll be some that'll last for a while, but we'll try to stretch it out. But do you know how long will it last? Again, Jesus Christ is that perfect gift, because He is the gift of eternal life. And in some places it says everlasting life. It is forever. It'll never break. You won't need to buy batteries either. And it is forever. You'll find John 3:16, "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Means you already have it. That point when you repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you immediately have everlasting life. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Not only is our salvation eternal, but it is secure, and we may know it. It is not a hope so. 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." As we have gathered here this morning and we think about the wonderful gifts and maybe the gifts that you've already received from family and friends, let us ponder on the greatest gift. Number one, it is the gift that we needed. And had Christ not come, born in a manger, lived a little over 30 years, and laid His life down, we would not have the hope of eternal life. Let us ponder on the fact that it will last. It will not break. It will not fade. It will not wear out. It'll never go out of style, at least in God's eyes. But it is everlasting. Let us rejoice on the goodness of God's great gift that He has given to us. What a wonderful thing. And then there is another unique reality about gift giving and receiving. And that has to do with our economic class. You know, for some people, their gifts may come from Walmart. And for others, it may come from the secondhand store. I had an uncle. He would go to every garage sale and every auction around Lincoln County and beyond. And he would buy stuff and take home to his place. And instead of renting the storage thing, he built large steel buildings to put all of his stuff in that he bought at auctions and garage sales. I don't know whatever happened to it after he died, but it would be a building, at least one building this size or bigger, that he just would go and buy and drag home and bring. And his kids, I hate to say this, but they hated Christmas and birthdays. because Dad would go out to the shed and find something he bought at an auction or a garage sale that was about half wore out and give it to the kids for Christmas or for their birthday. And so, you know, many times the gifts are related to our economic status. For some, they may go to the high-end stores of downtown New York, Chicago, Denver, spend thousands of dollars. That's not my peers, I guess. And if that's what you're expecting from this preacher, that's out of my class as well. But do you know what? Again, Christ is a perfect gift because he is the most expensive gift ever given and available to everyone. It exceeds the value of all that the stores could provide or supply or make or have available. Even if you were to buy out every high-end store, the value of eternal life still exceeds the value of all of that. He owns the gold and silver in every mine, the cattle on all the hills. But do you know what? I wouldn't trade eternal life for all of that. Because the gift of eternal life is the most costly gift that you and I will have ever received. And what a gift that is. He gave it to us. We can't work to earn it. We can't pay enough to receive it. And it is one of those that he gives without respect of persons. Now, if I was to walk in to a crowd of the elite, the multimillionaires and all of their finery and wealth and everything, I'd be a little out of class. I probably would not get an invitation to that type of a meeting. But do you know what? Christ gives his invitation to whosoever will, without respect of persons. The color of our skin makes no difference to him. Our economic status makes no difference to him. Our academic status makes no difference to him. Our nation of origin makes no difference. Our age makes no difference. Our IQ level makes no difference. Without respecter of persons, he offers this gift, the most expensive, the most valuable gift ever to be given or ever to be received, without respect of persons. From the homeless shelters to the rescue mission that ministers to those that are impoverished, whether by choice or not, and going in to receive a handout of a food, the gospel is preached and souls have been saved. I think one of the great programs to listen to is Pacific Garden Missions that tells about the stories of men and women who have come to the rescue mission to hear the gospel. Their life was shot. They get saved and their lives are transformed. We've had one in this pulpit whose life was transformed by the ministry of the Pacific Garden Missions, and his story is told. His name is Brother Bruce DeLang. He has been here, and his story has been told on Pacific Garden Missions. He was down and out, and his life was ruined until he came to Christ. But you will also find those of great wealth. One said they were saved because there's an M in the Bible. In Corinthians, where it says, not many mighty, not many noble. M is there. It didn't say not any. It said not many. Was a very wealthy person in one of the not many. But that person was saved with all their wealth, turned to Christ, and received they could not buy salvation. That is the glory of this gift. It is the most costly gift, but it is available to be received by whosoever will receive it. Then, when it comes to gift-giving time, there's another phrase that you will hear from time to time. And that phrase is, This is a gift that will keep on giving. Now, if it needs batteries, it's a gift that will keep on taking because you have to keep on buying batteries. But you'll hear from time to time, here's a gift that'll keep on giving. That's true of God's greatest gift. It is a gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. To list some of the giving that just keeps on, He gives the forgiveness of sin. And certainly this happens at that point when we confess our sin and put our faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." And you know what? There's never been an accurate value of the riches of His grace. You cannot measure that. But that's the measure of the forgiveness of His sins. Whether it be the self-righteous or whether it be the vilest person that ever walked this earth, there was a man that was involved in as a slave trader and a marketeer, a very vulgar man. He came to his knees and put his faith in Jesus Christ. He received the forgiveness of his sins. Then for you and I as believers, as we continue, we do not attain sinless perfection. And likewise, we need forgiveness. And so there's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is not that a gift that keeps on giving? Because from time to time, when we have sin in our life, we need the forgiveness of God. And it's still there. He doesn't say, "I forgave you once, so no more." He doesn't say, "I forgave you seven times, so I will not forgive that anymore." He doesn't even say, "I forgave you 70 times seven, so not another one." But if we confess, He will forgive. That is a gift that keeps on giving, and we need. Then also, He gives us a great family to be a part of. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Now, I realize as a church family, there's some of the family members that can get a little ornery every now and then, and they can be a little difficult from time to time. But do you know what? We are all a part of God's family as believers in Christ. We are children of God. He is our heavenly Father. And we cry, "Abba, Father." What a wonderful relationship to have. Not only is He our Savior, not only is He God the Son, but He is our Father. And for those of you who know what it means to be a father and understand how you love your children and want the best for your children. Now, you and I, our capacity to be a father has been tainted by the sin nature. God's capacity to be a father has never been tainted. It is always perfect. It is always righteous. He always loves us. He always does what's best for us. He always gives what's best for us. We have received the perfect Heavenly Father and become a part of His family, which means we're heirs, heirs of heaven and Christ and all that He has to offer. The gift keeps giving. He not only gives us eternal life, but new life. You see, it's a new life, whether it be somebody like Nicodemus, who was steeped in religion, or Paul, who was steeped in religion, that knew nothing more than just a religious life. They learned what it was like to have a new life where there was a real, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Or whether it be some of the vilest of people that discovered what it was like to be delivered from the bondage of sin. Sin is a horrible slave master. And Jesus Christ said, "If I make you free, I make you free indeed." And He gives us a new life with a new hope, a new purpose, a new reason for living, a new heart, a new worldview. He gives us a new life. And that's for right here and now. It's not something we have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy. This is something that as a believer in Christ, we can begin enjoying right now, today. But along with new life, it is an abundant life. And oh, how it abounds that the life in Christ can be. Along with that, it keeps giving. He has given us peace that passes all understanding. There's a lot of things that are very disheartening in this world and in this culture and what we're dealing with right now. There's a lot of uncertainties, a lot of turbulence. But do you know what? Whether the market goes up or goes down, there's things about our relationship with Jesus Christ that stays stable. It is unchangeable. The promises of God, the care of God. We have a peace that passes all understanding that only a child of God can know and understand and experience. How do you put a value on a heart and a mind that's at peace with God and has the peace of God? They say that mental illness is at an all-time high. But do you know what? Now, I realize there are some cases where there is clinical issues. But a lot of it has to do with anxiety about dealing with life. And do you know what? Life can be challenging, but God can give me a peace to deal with it and to meet the challenge and to face the challenge. And even for those that do have clinical and medical challenges mentally, the peace of God can exceed even the other help that this world can give. And can help with that. And so God's peace passes all understanding. Don't ask me to explain it. I can experience it. I can enjoy it. But do you know there are some things that is beyond explanation even for you and I. But aren't we glad it's not beyond our experience as a child of God? Not only that, He gives a joy that even this world cannot take away. You always wonder what the world, what this government or what the world is going to take away from us. Is it going to take everything in taxes? Is it going to take all our freedoms away? Is it going to take some of our possessions away? Is it going to take this away? There's a lot of speculation out there what may happen, may not happen. But do you know one thing they cannot take away from us? They cannot take our salvation away. And they cannot rob us of the joy that God has given within our heart. They can take a lot of stuff away, but they can't rob us of this. And that is a gift that keeps on giving. I don't know about you, but I needed the use of that gift this last year. And I'm highly suspicious I'm going to need the use of that gift this next year. And so I'm so glad that He is a gift that keeps on giving. With that, He gives us the grace sufficient for every aspect of life. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." That really goes along with the joy. Because without the strength of God and the grace of God, we struggle with the joy of God. And He gives us the strength, He gives us the grace to deal with the issues that come into life. This last year for our family, we have endured a year's worth of issues with our son-in-law, Adam, with colon cancer and surgery. And there's been multiple times that didn't think he was even going to survive, but God has been good enough to continue his life and continue that family. And this year, that family has been able to enjoy Christmas together as a family. 6 months ago, the question mark would have been, will that happen? And through all of this year, God has given us the strength and the grace for the challenges that 2022 has given us. And it's a gift that keeps giving. I felt like I drew pretty heavy on that account. But do you know what? I haven't begun to drain it. It's still an overwhelming bank account of grace sufficient for 2023. It is a gift that keeps on giving. What a wonderful Lord we have. He gives us not only a hope, but the blessed hope. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope is not in this world. Our work is in this world, and that is to evangelize the lost. We're not going to win the world, but we can evangelize the lost, and we want to reach every individual possible for the Lord Jesus Christ and to reach them with the gospel. And we don't really expect to transform the world into what it's going to be when the millennial kingdom happens. We do want to be a godly influence and a light of righteousness in every aspect possible. Our great hope that we are able to endure and live and thrive in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is because He gives us the blessed hope of His coming to take us home to be with Him. We look forward to that time, whether it be in my lifetime or beyond. It is a hope that has been a part of the Christian life. And then one of the last of the great gifts, He gives us a promise of a mighty fine new home in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. That is our hope. We look forward to when we can go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what? If my mansion was a log cabin in heaven, I'd be excited because I'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Of course, I tend to be a little rustic on some level anyway. Not everybody would enjoy a log cabin. But the real joy of being home with our Heavenly Father and being in the presence of Jesus Christ. What a gift He has given to us. Now, this is something about these gifts that I want to close with. Typically, gifts are always received, and rarely is a gift rejected. Can you remember the last time that you actually rejected a gift that was given to you? I'm talking about a monetary, some type of a gift. Can you remember the last time? Can you remember the last time that you offered and gave a gift to somebody that they said, no, I will not take it? Rarely are gifts rejected, but the greatest gift ever that has been given by the Heavenly Father may possibly be the most rejected gift of all time. By those who hear it, may understand it, but have rejected it. I'm not talking about the thousands upon thousands, if not millions, who have never heard the gospel message. I'm talking about the multitudes that have heard it. Jesus Christ said, He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. They rejected Him. It is one of the most rejected gifts that have ever been offered. He offers this gift of eternal life to every man, woman, and child, full and free. The gift is not forced upon anyone to take or to receive or to walk away with, but it is a gift that can be received only by a free will and a choice. You cannot work to earn it. You cannot pay for this gift, else it would not be a gift. You may only receive the gift by confessing your sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You see, this gift is also of a limited time offer. How many times have we seen that on a TV ad or on a store ad? Limited time offer. Yeah, if you wait till next week, you might get it for a dollar cheaper or something. I don't know. But it is a limited time offer. You see, it means that you have the opportunity to receive the gift only in this life. If the rapture comes or death comes, your opportunity is over. The limited time has expired. That's why Paul says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Do not procrastinate. Do not put off, because life is but a vapor. Receive the greatest gift ever given. and that is the day of salvation. I'd like to share this little story about how somebody was born to preserve another life. In 1988, Anissa was 16 years old and diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. The doctor said that if she did not receive a bone marrow transplant after chemotherapy and radiation treatment, she would die. Neither her parents nor her brother were a match. They could not find a donor elsewhere. Her parents, both in their 40s, decided to conceive another child and hope that its bone marrow would be compatible with Anissa. To their great delight, it was determined that this new baby was a compatible donor. And when Marissa was 14 months old, they took some of her bone marrow and gave it to Anissa, her older sister. Anissa made a full recovery from the leukemia, and both sisters led healthy lives today. In a very real sense, Marissa saved her sister's life. She says, without me being a perfect match for my sister, she would not be here. Jesus was born, died, and rose again, and is the perfect match for you. He provides eternal life. He is the one and only Savior. There is no other match that can save you and give you eternal life. This marks the day we celebrate His birth, and without Him, we could not have salvation. If you have received the Heavenly Father's greatest gift, your faith in Jesus Christ and eternal life, then rejoice evermore. Always and forevermore, thank God for the greatest gift ever to be received. If you have not received this great gift, then we urge you to do so today. Today is the best day. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. You have no guarantee of tonight, next week, next month, next year, even though next year is just around the corner. But none of us have that guarantee. We urge you to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sin, and believe on Him. Father, we come to you this morning, and what a great gift. What a great message you have left us in the Gospel of John of how our Heavenly Father has given. And Father, on behalf of the church family, I want to say thank you from each that have received Christ as their Savior for giving your only Son to pay my sin penalty, our sin penalty, that we may receive a full pardon and eternal life and a new life and abundant life. What a gift. What a priceless gift. Eternal gift that keeps giving. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.